Chapter 3. The Recognition. As Hester was standing on the platform, she saw, in the distance, an Indian who was standing next to a white man. The white man had strange clothes and was small in stature. There was remarkable intelligence in his features. Hester noticed that one of the man's shoulders was higher than the other. When she realized that the man had a thin, weary face and a slight physical deformity, she pressed her child to her breast with such force that the poor infant cried out. The stranger had set his eyes on Hester. At first he looked at her carelessly, but after a while his look became intense and penetrating. Then a look of horror crossed his face. He tried to control his strong emotions, and soon he appeared to be calm. At this point, he met Hester's eyes. She appeared to recognize him. He slowly raised his finger and put it on his lips. He then asked a townsman the following question.
Who is this woman, and why is she on the platform?
You must be a stranger in this area, my friend,
answered the townsman, looking curiously at the man and his Indian companion.
Otherwise, you would have heard of Mistress Hester Prynne and her evil doings. She has created a scandal in Master Dimsdale's church.
Really?
Said the man.
I am a stranger. I've traveled by land and sea, and I've been a prisoner of the Indians. Please tell me of this woman's offenses.
That woman, sir, was the wife of a well-educated man, English by birth, who had lived in Amsterdam for a long time. One day he decided to settle in Massachusetts. Therefore he sent his wife first, and he remained in Amsterdam to look after some business. 2 years have passed, and the young woman has never received any news from her husband.
I understand,
replied the stranger.
And who is the father of the infant?
The matter is a mystery. Madam Hester refuses to speak. Our Massachusetts magistrates have been merciful with Hester Prynne. They say that she is young and fair, and was strongly tempted to her fall. Moreover, it is likely that her husband may be at the bottom of the sea. If the magistrates had followed the law to its extreme, the penalty would have been death. Instead, the penalty is to stand on the platform for 3 hours. And then, to wear the mark of shame on her breast for the rest of her life.
A wise sentence,
said the stranger.
She will be a living sermon against sin until the shameful letter is engraved on her tombstone. It upsets me that the partner of her shame is not standing on the platform by her side, but he will be known, he will be known, he will be known.
He bowed courteously to the townsman and left the crowd with his Indian companion. Hester stood on the scaffold, staring at the stranger. In her heart she was thankful that the crowd, dreadful in itself, was there to separate her from him, to protect her from him. She dreaded the moment when she would have to meet him alone, face to face. Several important men of authority and religion had assembled at the meeting house to discuss and judge Hester Prynne's case. These older men were, without doubt, good, wise, just, and virtuous. But they were not capable of judging the good and evil in a woman's heart. Governor Bellingham, head of the community, was present. The famous Reverend John Wilson, the oldest clergyman in Boston, called out Hester's name.
Hester Prynne,
said the clergyman.
I've tried to persuade my young brother, Reverend Dimsdale, to deal with you in discussing the vileness of your sin. Reverend Dimsdale is your pastor and knows you better than I. Hester Prynne, you must not continue to hide the name of he who tempted you to this grievous fall. Reverend Dimsdale does not agree with me. He feels that it is against the nature of a woman to force her to open the secrets of her heart to the world. Who will deal with this poor sinner's soul?
There was a murmur among the dignified occupants of the balcony. Governor Bellingham spoke in an authoritative voice.
Master Dimsdale, the responsibility of this woman's soul is yours. You must convince her to repent and confess.
The whole crowd looked at Reverend Dimsdale, a young clergyman, who who had come from the great English universities, bringing all his learning to the wilderness. He was eloquent and deeply religious. He had a striking aspect, with large, brown, melancholy eyes, and a mouth which tended to tremble. This expressed both nervous sensibility and a great power of self-control. The young minister had a worried, almost frightened look. He was simple and childlike, but his sermons, which reflected his purity of thought, affected his listeners like the speech of an angel.
"Speak to the woman, my brother,"
said Mr. Wilson.
"She must confess the truth."
"Hester Prynne,"
said Reverend Dimmesdale, leaning over the balcony and looking into her eyes.
"You have heard what Reverend Wilson said. I ask you to confess the name of your fellow sinner. Do not have pity for him. Your silence will not save his soul. Your silence will only make him add hypocrisy to sin. It is better for him to join you on the platform than to hide a guilty heart all through his life."
The young pastor's voice was sweet, rich, deep, and broken. He was able to evoke sympathy from the crowd. Hester shook her head.
"Woman, do not go beyond the limits of heaven's mercy,"
cried Reverend Wilson.
"Speak out the name. That name and your repentance could help to take the scarlet letter off your breast."
"Never,"
replied Hester, looking into the deep and troubled eyes of Reverend Dimmesdale.
"Speak, woman,"
said another stern voice from the crowd.
"Speak and give your child a father."
"I will not speak,"
answered Hester, turning as pale as death.
"She will not speak,"
murmured Reverend Dimmesdale, who was leaning over the balcony with his hand on his heart. He moved back with a long sigh.
"What strength and generosity in a woman's heart. She will not speak.